and get into the Word of God this morning. 1 John, we've been in 1 John on this series while we're in chapter 4 again, beginning at verse 7. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. We are reading verses 7 through 16. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. We usually have nice outline, a nice, well-printed, well-formed outline. Amen. Today you see it a little bit different. Amen. Today you see a rough draft. You actually see a picture, amen, of the pastor's mindset as I was studying for this. I wanted you to have a picture of all the ideas that were in my mind as I studied this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to use it this morning, amen, as I share the Word of God with you. All right, let's read the scripture in chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that while God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we are also to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. If you would look at the top of the, where the grave entitlement is, you will see basically what you see when you step in the front door of our church and look up Bethsaida Vision, our vision statement. And it says that Bethsaida, we envision ourselves as being a loving community of disciples who make disciples until we make a difference, both locally and globally, for time and eternity, unto the glory and supremacy of God. But we just want to look, we're going to use a little bit, a part of it, as our title of the sermon today. And we're going to preach just a little bit. And we want to talk about envisioning ourselves as being a loving community of disciples.
All right.
Envisioning ourselves as being a loving community of disciples.
Right.
I think you'll be able to see that in this passage that we are studying this morning. Amen. So praise God. Just let me. First, let me share this with you. Amen. We kind of have talked about this using the illustration of the true vine branch and fruit. But today we're going to use a different illustration. If you look in the middle of that page, where you see the little guy or girl, or you can't tell, amen, what it's going to be, but it can represent all of us,
all right,
ladies and gentlemen. All right. And you see God, and then you see something coming from God and going into the individual and then coming out and blessing. That's what we want to look at today. Basically what we are trying to say, amen, is how God gives us life. How we come alive, amen, how God gives us life. All right, so if you'll see on that first line, it says, this is the way God gives us life when you look at that picture. Amen. See it? Everybody looking at it right there. It says, you receive life from outside yourself. Amen. Life comes from God that's outside of us. And we're really talking about eternal life. Most times people think about eternal life, they think about how long it lasts. But that's not really the meaning of eternal that we are looking at. It's not in the duration.
Right.
It's not in the chronology. But it's in character. Eternal life is the life of God. And when one has eternal life, you can reflect the character of God. It's the life that gives you the capacity to reflect the character of God progressively. In other words, you won't be like Christ perfectly at this moment, but you will begin a journey of becoming more and more like Christ when you have eternal life. And when he comes back, when Christ comes back literally and bodily to receive us unto himself, then we'll have glorified bodies when we can more perfectly reflect the character of him. So eternal life is not living a long time, because people who live, amen, not only are people who live with God going to live throughout eternity, but people who live without God are going to be without God throughout eternity. So both of us will live eternally, but will you reflect the character of Christ? The reason why you pray. So life, God gives us life from outside ourselves. That's eternal life. And then, let's look at the verses. I want you to see this in here. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is what? Everybody with me? I'm in verse 7. I'm at the first. For love is of God. Love, and where love comes from, it's of God. It comes from God. And everyone who loves is what?
Born of God.
Born of God. Okay? So that's us. That's when his love coming to us. We are born of God. We got that connection now. So his love has came into our life. And when his love comes into us, amen, our spirit comes alive and our souls begin to thrive and flourish, and we become the person that God created us to be. How is something excited about being a Christian? I don't know about that. God's life coming to you. Hallelujah. Yeah, and then it says, not only does his life come in us, but then after his life come in us, it produces blessings. Here's the blank. There's a blank there. It produces blessings beyond ourselves. So God gives you his life that makes you come alive. You feel more alive than you ever felt before. But the blessing don't stop there. It goes beyond ourselves and we bless somebody else. That's why it's so exciting. I don't think it's anything like when you are a believer and God has infused you with his eternal life.
Yes.
And you're able to be a blessing to somebody else.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
A joy.
Yes.
Right? Right?
And excited.
Yes.
Being a blessing to somebody else.
Yes.
Oh, I wonder if everybody here, have you had a chance this week to live beyond yourself?
Amen. Amen.
living beyond yourself. Try being a blessing to somebody else.
Yeah.
Brighten somebody else's mind.
Yeah.
I think every morning you need to be intentional in doing this.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, that means you got to make it a goal. Let's mm-hmm. start out. You just kind of start out and say, I'm going to live beyond myself today.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to find a way to be a blessing to at least 10 people today.
Come on, right, y'all, right?
Go on your job with that. I'm going to try to be a blessing to at least 10 people. Because when you try to be a blessing to at least 10 people, you'll probably be a blessing to more.
Yeah.
Because blessing, every time you bless somebody, it gains momentum.
Yeah, yeah.
That's one you know, that was pretty good. You become a blessing machine.
All right.
So whether you're on your job or whether it's the young people going into the classroom or whether it's you in your neighborhood, amen. Even our elders that may not be able to get around, amen. But you can be a blessing on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
You can be a blessing on the phone, you can be a curse on the phone. You got to choose. But try to bless it every day. What was it? I got to find 10 ways today of going beyond myself and being a blessing to somebody else. I tell you that it'll change your life. Amen. That's what God did, because you're going to stop counting after a while. But now listen, see, when God gives us that life that's outside ourselves, it's not just life. Okay? Let's go back to verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. Beloved is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Okay? So listen here. It says, love is of God. That means it comes from God. And everyone that loves is born of God. And if you look at the first, so since love comes from God and we are born of God and is in us, it begins, go back to the beginning, let us love one another. That's when you're living beyond yourself. You say, believers, especially when you come, amen, to the congregation, to the corporate meeting, people ought to be able to experience love at church.
Amen.
Wait a minute. I didn't get enough amens on that. Wait a minute. If you don't get love nowhere else,
yeah.
You ought to get love at church.
Amen.
Because everybody at church is connected to God.
Yeah.
And having seen not everybody, but everybody that's really part of the church, amen, and you got a connection with God. And God has given you his life in you.
Yeah.
And his character is being produced in you.
Yeah.
And when you love, you feel his presence.
Yeah.
Right.
Love one another.
Yeah, you're right.
Love one another. Amen. Do something to show love for one another. That's nice. So love, just like that picture in the middle, when God gives us his life, in that life is love.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all catch that?
Yes.
He gives us life outside of himself. The life that he gives us outside of himself that comes into us and brings us alive. And then we live beyond ourselves and share it with somebody else. That life all the way through is a life that contains his love.
Amen.
So love comes from him. Yeah. And it goes to that last person. The song says, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. Then all those around can warm up in his glory.
Right, come on.
That's how it is with God's love.
Right.
Once you've experienced it. The God of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
Right.
Hey, y'all get that?
Yeah.
And that song says so much more. What our vision is trying to say. Definitely, as they say, that ought to be our vision. Amen. If you've experienced his love,
yeah.
If the God of love has come to you, he's given you life.
Yeah.
And he loved you, you ought to want to pass it on.
All right. Okay.
The the spark come from God.
Amen.
We're the fire. Hello, that's why I'm just hoping y'all will get the loving right one day. And when folk lead church, especially the young people, lead the church, the spark check with fire. Yeah, that's why I want to y'all. Amen. And describe church, check with fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Church, and that's what church ought to be.
Amen.
And then when you leave, amen. And then it says it'll warm up. When church is fire, it'll warm up everybody at church. That's when you're going beyond yourself. Amen. That warmth is what you give somebody else. And I want to tell you, my brothers and sisters, we need warmth in our world because we're living in a cold world. We're living in a cold world, amen. Anytime you, amen, like what can happen, what happened yesterday, amen, when you shoot up people and 26 people killed, I mean 20 people killed and 26 injured, it was just out happening. You had to grab up kids and try to make a run with kids. I'm trying to tell you, we're living in a cold world. Somebody with a cold, racist heart. Amen. But not only that, and that would have been enough, but early this morning. And they know how, 9 more killed, 26 more injured. We are living in a cold, cold world. And that, amen, and it seemed like we got bookends from Sunday to Sunday because it was last Sunday that 3 got killed at the festival in Fresno, California. We are living in a cold world. But that's why God put us here. Because he needed a church. He needed some people that know him, who got his life, that can bring warmth to this world. If anybody, can't nobody love like we love. Amen. Because we love with his love.
Yes, sir.
And let me go. When you see that word love, when you see that word love in the Bible, it can be one of 3 words. Now look on your paper. You see something, eros, y'all see them? Eros, phileo, agape. Y'all see that on the side? Picture, if you look at the picture of my mind. Those 3 words that are in Greek. Remember the New Testament of the Bible was mostly written in Greek. But really it is written in Greek. That's what they spoke to in Jesus. They coined it Greek. And eros is the first word. That's where we get our word in English, erotic. Speaks of sensuality. I call eros love a love that takes. Now, I don't mean take as in a forced take. I mean a take like you take your spouse's hand or you take your keys out of your pocket. Eros is always grasping for something. Because eros has a deficit that it's trying to fulfill. Something is missing, and eros is always reaching out for it. That's why I call it a love that takes. People who have this kind of love, they'll love you if. I love you if you do this, or if you like that. And that if, whatever that if is what their deficit is. So they're ready to say, I love you if you have something that can fulfill the deficit that's in me. Or they say, I love you because of. When they say, I love you because of, they're saying, I love you because there's something you do, there's something about you, there's something you have that can fill the void in me. That's evil. Evil steps. The second kind of love is phileo. Phileo is a give and take. It's that word, that root word that form that's in the word. It's in the word Philadelphia, which means brotherly love, city of brotherly love. You know, they don't act like that all the time in Philadelphia, but that's what that means. It's a brotherly love, and it's a give and take. When you got that phileo love, you do look for things to fill your deficit. But you also feel the deficit of somebody else. Mm-hmm. You give me, and have immaturity. That's what friendship is. You're there for each other. When one needs the other, the other needs one. It's a give and take thing.
But now,
then there's the love that God has. Agape. Agape is a give.
Agape, don't worry about what he can get out of a thing. Because agape is God's kind of love. And God has no deficits.
Amen.
God doesn't need anything. God is complete in himself.
Yeah.
So since he doesn't need anything, the reason why he, amen, created us, because God is love,
and he wanted to express that love.
Yes.
I don't need anything that humanity got. I was doing well before they came alive.
Amen.
But something about being loved, so I'm quit him and I'm going to know. And that's what God. And that's the love he gives us. So it's a love that's not manipulative, because it's not trying to get anything out of it. It's a love that says, I'm just in the business of giving.
Yeah.
So I don't love you if. And I don't love you because. I love you.
Amen.
So that's the kind of love we take it out to the world. Because there may be somebody that God asks you to say a loving word or do a loving gesture. There may be somebody you don't really.
Right.
You have a hard time liking.
Preacher.
But God didn't say like. God said love.
Right.
Love is an act of the weak. Amen. There may be some things that they do. You don't really enjoy being around because of some of their habits or some of the things that they do. But God says, still love them.
Amen.
God says, no. Because when you love them, you're becoming more like me. The more difficult a person is to love, and you go beyond yourself to love that person, the more you become like Christ.
That's wonderful.
Yes, sir.
It's a maturing process. He's growing you.
Right?
Because when you're grown up, you'll be able to love like him. You'll be able to love. That's why the Bible says, love those that despise the misuse.
What?
Love those that despise the misuse. You can't do that with heroes and tales.
Right.
You can do that with the God of your love that comes from outside of you in God's life, and God puts inside within you, and then leaves and goes beyond you. You can do it.
Yes, sir.
Because Christ did.
Yeah.
And it says that in the verse we just read, is that he demonstrated to him when he gave, amen, his son to be a propitiation for our sins.
Yeah.
Propitiation means he paid the fine.
Right.
He paid the fine. He paid what it costs. So now you have some peace. So, because sin has to be punished. But Christ took the punishment for sin. So we can have peace with God. All right. We're moving good. Now let's look down to the next verse. Verse number 12. God, let me go with the 11 right. We love God, so love us. We ought to love one another. And not only is that right, that we ought to love one another, because he put his love in us. You ought to have it to the point where you just can't help it when you spend time with him. I say it, thank you here, and I said even this week when I was preaching in the revival. Amen. I told you I think the last time. When we talk about it, you know, one of the last two times, that's why we have to spend time with God.
Yes, sir.
Because when you spend time with it, is when you get the feel.
Right?
Amen. Come from God, and the life he's giving you, get the feel. And then when you go out, amen, let's see if you remember. When you go out and you hang out with others, what do they get?
The spiel.
Y'all don't remember that?
Yeah.
I need me some water. We'll see y'all next time. But when you feel that, amen, or when you feel with God,
You filled up to the brim.
Yeah.
It's just like you got to fill up. If you're not careful, you're always perfect. It's easy to spill on somebody. You're not even trying to love somebody. You make love. Because if love is in you, you can't keep it. That's the way. You spend time with it. You get to feel. Because you begin to know him. Experientially. All right, let me head on to a close. 12, no one has seen God at any time. Y'all see that? Because God is invisible. God is invisible, so nobody has seen him at any time. Hold on to that thought. I want to go back just one step. And this had to do with the verse we just passed. Basically, one of the summaries of those verses is that loved people. Love people. Did y'all hear that?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Y'all know back when we talk about generosity, we said blessed people. Blessed people.
Right.
But not only was blessed people, but loved people whom God has loved. And when they experience God's love, they go on and pass that love on to others. So love the people. Love people. I didn't want to miss that thought. And then, thought I'm trying to make now, is God is invisible, but look here. Love. No one has seen God any time. If we love one another, everybody with me, I'm on verse 12. God abides in us. That means we got the connection. We got the connection with God. And his love has been perfected in us. In other words, God gave us his love. And the love he gave us we're beginning to love more and more. We're learning how to love like him. That love is growing in us. It's being perfected in us. It's growing in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because that love is growing. And then it says, because he has given us his spirit, because his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is him loving through us. It's God, because the Holy Spirit is God. So it's God loving through you. Now, this is the point I want to make in this next verse. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son as Savior in the world. And we have what? Now, this is John talking about, we talking about the church. We have seen. Wait a minute. Because that first part of 12 says, no one has seen God at any time. But this is saying, we have seen and testified. This is the part. When we love like God has called us to love, and it comes from him through us to us. When the spark comes into a fire and we become a place of warmth, we are able to make the invisible God visible.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Y'all catch that?
Yes.
We can't see it because God is spirit. But when we believers come to the corporate meeting, or wherever we are together, whether we have our believers on a job, the way we love one another, you begin to see God. You make a God that's invisible visible.
Yeah,
all right. And that's our task. Because the thing you have to always remember, you and we may be the only Jesus that somebody sees.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
They may not see Jesus, because but they all may see Jesus in us.
Yeah.
We may be the only Jesus that somebody sees. But seeing sometimes when they see Jesus, it's not enough. when they see Jesus, we got another part to do. There used to be a wavy bed line that says, preach the gospel. And if necessary, use words. Say, preach, that way your lion should preach the gospel.
Right?
Then if necessary, use words.
Right.
Now, the thing I want to tell you, it is necessary. Because even when you, by your lifestyle, make the invisible God visible, they need to know how to bring the God that they now see and make it part of their lives.
Right, right.
So now you need to know and confess how to do it. Confess means you need to share with them how they can do that. You need to testify, hey, how did you get to be loved? How did you get to be, have the character that you have and be calm the kind of person you are? And you got to tell them about meeting Christ.
Yes.
About, amen, meeting the Christ that died for your sins and how he gave you a brand new life.
Yes.
And you came alive. And now, you live a life living beyond yourself. See, because the argument has always been, or it may not have always been, but it is recently. What should we do at church? What, who should the church be for? Is the church for the saints? I mean, is the church supposed to be a place where the saints come and learn and grow, become more like Christ, amen, develop, or disciple, or should the church be for secrets? Should the church be for those that don't know Christ? And lost, unbelievers. So some churches fix their services to meet the secrets, those that don't know Christ. They try to have their service as a way of appealing to those that don't know Christ. And other churches have areas like for people that do know Christ where they can grow in Christ and become more of a true believer. So which one is true? Is it for the seeker or is it for the saints? And the answer is both. It's both. If we do what he's saying, do it. Because hey, you don't have to have a special service for the seeker. But when they come and see the saints loving one another, I wish I had a witness in here. See, that's how we win the seekers, that when they come to church and see how the saints act toward one another, how the saints love one another, how the saints encourage one another. They see the saints as it is sometimes our church, somebody going through something and they're in tears or they're in distress, and then another saint will pull up with them and say, let me pray for you, let me walk with you. What you need? You need a ride? Amen. You need somebody to help you take care of this or that. You need whatever it is. When love comes in, it says, hey, I come alongside you because I see you going through something. Amen. And I'm willing to walk through that thing with you. When those that are unbelievers come in and they see us loving one another like that.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't seen nothing like this before.
Yeah.
Because it just changes the atmosphere. And it becomes an attractive atmosphere. So being in the church, it both for the saints and the sick. That's the kind of church we want. That's why we got that vision. It's just not words I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ain't there yet. You know how you saw the movie? Are we there yet? And the kids, you say, are we there yet? But you know, a mature believer don't have to ask that. Because the more mature you get, the more you realize, I got to go a little bit further.
Yeah.
The immature group may think he's there. But when you've been walking with the Lord a long time, you're like, oh, Lord, the more I grow in Christ, the more the Lord, I'm not there yet. I need to learn how to love a little bit better.
Yeah.
Lord, I still got too much ego and filio, and I ain't got enough agape yet. I need more than agape where I can, amen, love those without expecting something back.
Yeah.
If you really take honesty with yourself, you're not there yet. None of us are here there. Paul says, I have need to change it, but I'm pressing toward the Lord. Now somebody tell you, my brothers and sisters, we ain't there yet. But I do know one thing. We're going to still need to love one another.
Yeah.
Because Christ gave us an an example. And the same, if the same love that he had is in us, we can change the world. You know how much he loved us to be able to die for us on Calvary's cross. That's why we tell that story again and again. Amen. Most of the time you come to church, amen, you're going to hear the same old story. How they hung him on Calvary's cross. On Friday, nailed his hand and nailed his feet. And my Lord stayed there from the sick to the name down. Amen. He stayed there dying on the cross. Because he loved us. And he raised his hand. Amen. He said he was trying to reach down to man and reach up to God and bring them together. He hung there on that cross all Friday. And died on our behalf. And then buried him in a bar or two. Because he wasn't going to need it alone. He said he stayed there Friday and all Saturday. But every Sunday morning, every morning, in the morning, he rose with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And the same power that got him up out the grave will enable you to help those that need your help. We'll help you love your enemies and pray for those that despise living you. We'll change the trajectory of your life.
Dark world. Cold. So we the warmers, we got a job. We the warmers. We got a job. We fire. We fire. So I'm going to tell you, be the fire. On your job, be the fire. In your classroom, young people, when you go back to school, be the fire. On your, wherever you go, on your home with your neighbors, be the fire. You may have cold neighbors who don't want to speak. Amen. Don't want nothing to do with you, but you just be the fire on your block. That same one that don't speak to you, when they need a boost, you be there. I'll be ready. Amen. Be the fire. Same one, amen, the one that tries everywhere. Be the fire. Go, I'm just going to pick this up. Be the fire.
Yes.
Do amazing things. Make a difference in your community. Wherever you work. Say, I'm going to be the fire this week. I'm going to be that chief. I saw that every morning with God. I feel the spark. And if you want to wake up in the morning, ooh, I feel the spark. I got to find the least thing. I got to find the least thing. Because every time I wake up, I've been thinking that every time I wake up, Lord, thankful that let me wake up to your love again. If nothing else happened to me today, yes, waking up to the power of your love, the presence of your love, what I get from your love, I'm already blessed enough.
Amen.
I didn't wake up to ignorance. I woke up to love. And I know he loved me so much that one of these long days, I might not wake up on this side. Whoa! Hallelujah. I'm kind of feeling a little something. I may not wake up on this side. Don't worry about it. But if I wake up on the other side, it's going to be all right. But the same love that he showed me on this side. Amen. I'm sure enough. I'm sure I'm not going to get it on the other side. When you get the home and I'm going to get it in the presence. Hey, don't worry about me. Because if he loves me on this side, he's sure not going to love me on the other side. Woo! Come on, to the musician.
We got a baptism to do in a few minutes. Come on. Amen.
Sister Carrie, sister. Call us again, y'all come. All right, good, all right. Got your girl, got your girl, got it. Yeah. Can you hear this one? You be allowed to come to my side.
Yeah.
It comes in.
Yeah.
And then it goes beyond you. That's going to have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
If you don't have that relationship with Jesus this morning, it's a good time for you to establish a relationship with Jesus. And you will live in that relationship. You see this attention council up here? If you need to be connected with the church, they're here, you need to be connected with the church. If you need to connect with them and pray about an issue in your life, they'll pray with you about the issue. If you need to get a connection with God,
thank you.